As I was looking at Percy, I wish that I had Will Shakespeare in the bar to share some of his wisdom on that. Unfortunately, he's at Alan Grant.
The quality of mercy, an excellent poem in the Merchant of Venice by William Shakespeare. The quality of mercy is not strange. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. It is mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throne of God better than his crown. It simply shows the force of temporal power. The attributes wherein death set the dread and fear of kings. But mercy is above this sceptred sway. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute of God himself, an earthly power that then shall like God's when mercy seasons justice.
God, we have heard your holy word. We seek your mercy, and we seek to be merciful. So speak with your power to us and through us. Use me in Jesus' name. Amen. As we heard from the Lord, mercy is that which comes down from heaven ultimately. When we look at the passage of the Beatitudes, as we look at the blessings, the happy trails, the release of God's grace and blessing, we come to blessed are the merciful. We want us to remember that blessed are the merciful. Those full of mercy, for they shall receive mercy. To be merciful is to have received more than enough mercy for yourself so that you can share it with others. When Anne and I got married, one of the things that she used to love to do that I wasn't, I had to learn to do, is I would order a meal and she'd say, I'll just have some of yours. And so, at first I did not welcome them, but then I learned to order bigger meals. And I also learned that we do it both ways. I would finish your plate and all that stuff. But when you're full of something, you have plenty to share. When you don't have, you haven't received something fully, you have less to share. And what we have is the fullness of God's mercy that comes upon us. Augustine said, blessed mercy comes to the aid of the needy. He said it's something we expect. In the first of the Beatitudes, the first four, focusing on that which is inside of us as much as anything. That which God is doing in us and for us. If you go to the next four Beatitudes, blessings, the trails of God, we see that the pathway helps us to come out of ourselves. We live in a world in which we get trapped into being for ourselves and looking out for number one. And number one is ourselves. But with the blessings of mercy, we realize that we receive from God that which we could never hope to give, never hope to get. And out of that, we share it. There's a the rule from there. But Calvin said, those who not only are prepared to put up with their own troubles, the first four Beatitudes, but to take on the troubles of others. And as we move into this, we who have received mercy are called to go beyond that. The poor in spirit, those who mourn and need to repent, are those who take the heart or have a heart for those that have fallen, and those that need that which we have received. I came across a quote and I lost to said it, but I liked it. Once the outstretched hand of mercy has been grasped, the gospel and the effect of its love creates in us the will to do good and to show mercy. When God reaches down to me, will I grasp for that hand? As He lifts me up, I'm called to show mercy. There's the great Russian writers have these wonderful pictures of God. I can't remember which one of them did, but there's a story of mercy. And it's about this fellow who was so unmerciful, so unkind, that he came before God and they reviewed it just to see if he did any kindness. Once upon a time, he gave an onion peel to a poor person. So God held the onion peel down to this person whose wife had not displayed much grace. And the person grasped hold of the onion peel and was being lifted from the threat of hell. As he did that, another sinner, seeing an opportunity, grasped for his life as he was being pulled out of hell. Because the fellow still thought of himself first, the other person's hand free. And with that, the onion peel tore. And he fell back to eternal darkness. That's scripture. What a great Russian writer. To receive mercy and not extend it to others, it's an effort on our part to receive the gift while at the same time to spurn the giver. You see, there are no more specific, consistent, clear passage for judgment in all of Scripture. And the requirement to be merciful. The concept of mercy is so awesome. In the earliest days of the Christian church, they began to sing very early here, they began to sing Kyrie Eleison, Lord have mercy, and then Christ have mercy. Early on in the days, when they would be singing this throughout our liturgy, particularly in the Orthodox Church, if you have that tradition, there were historical documents of a liturgy where they sang that 100 times or more. Now, it's funny when in praise music, some people say, I just wish they wouldn't repeat it so much. The Kyrie Eleison, maybe 100 times. And the great
fathers of the church, the desert fathers, the people that most sought God, they would say the only thing wrong with that is they couldn't do it enough. We are a people who have received mercy. And with that is the hand of the giver that pulls us out. We cannot receive the mercy of God that reaches us and lifts us up without extending it to others. We're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. By the way, how many of you grew up with debtors? Raise your hands. How many of you grew up as trespassers? How many of you grew up as sinners? Well, I didn't say anything about the Lord's Prayer. I just want to know what you do. I used to tell people when they asked if I was a trespasser, a debtor, or a sinner, I would always say yes. But forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. By the way, I grew up Lutheran. For the first 5 to 10 years of my ministry, I lived in a fear that in this Presbyterian church that I became a minister. And one Sunday, we trespass instead of that. But I held on because I believed in the mercy of God. I'm a merciful God. This is so important. This is so important. There is no passage in Scripture, teaching in Scripture that's clearer uniformly throughout. Now, the word mercy in the Greek, it speaks. The root word of it is from like a salve or an oil. Something that you would rub in if you have pain or illness and it would be comforting. It was the salve of God. And so mercy was receiving the touch of God that brings comfort and a sense of presence. It's sort of like, have you been by the, most of you have been by the bedside of someone who was dying? I remember, almost 40 years ago, I was by the bedside of a woman who was filled with pain and I didn't give medication like I do now. Asking me to pray that she died, and I didn't. But I did pray that God would receive her into his mercy. Let her define it if she wished. But to facilitate comfort, sometimes we hold the hand of the loved one. Have you done that? Or you brushed the arm, or you gently touch the forehead, something that lets them know that you're there and that you love them. I remember, and I shared with you before, Kubler Ross on death and dying. She did a teaching years ago, and she used some artwork of a child. I've shared this with you before, so forgive me for those of you that remember it. Actually, most of you will. It's a child who is dying of a horrible disease. The child knew it deep within. Probably didn't know the meaning of the definition other than the child knew the child was dying. And so the child drew this tent with a big cannon. Shell coming out right at the child. And then she asked people if they would take symbol of the death of awareness.
And she showed some pictures where some people, one person built a wall,
which would be nice, but it wasn't real.
And children, their self-truth.
And there were different things, and finally she said the best answer that she ever saw was that one person drew like a mommy or daddy alongside of the child, holding the hand, grasping the child. You see, you don't know what it means, but there won't be long.
That picture could have been of Jesus if the child had the understanding of it.
And mercy is the grasp of heaven, is the caress of heaven. It shows the grace of God. The grace that won't let you go. And so fills you with God's love, you can't help but share it with another. It's not an accident that so many of the people who have mourned become the best comforters of people who mourn. Because they've known the touch of heaven, the mercy that awaits their loved one and embraces them. We are called to be merciful. And the Beatitude facilitates a chance for us to do that. It calls us what we're about. Now, by the way, in the Hebrew, when it speaks of mercy, instead of translating it that way, it uses chesed, which is depending on how you pronounce it, chesed of God, the steadfast love of God that never fails. It never empties. It never ceases to be there. It triumphs over everything. You see, this isn't like a legal bill where we stand before the judge and he says, mercy. This is a deal where we stand before the Father as prodigals and he embraces. And then we embrace others. If we haven't received mercy, it's hard for us to give mercy. That's why it's so important to focus on the mercy of God that we receive. Moody was right, Dwight L. Moody, there, but for the grace of God, go Dwight L. Moody. But for the mercy of God, go us. As we see Jesus throughout the New Testament, he comes upon people who, in essence, are saying, carry out in Iceland, Lord, have mercy. The Canaanite woman, tormented by the devil, she pleads for mercy for her daughter until the daughter is healed. The people on Palm Sunday that come, Lord, have mercy, they plead for mercy until they're healed. Again and again, sort of like the password is mercy, or Lord, have mercy. But it doesn't stop there, because to stop there would be to spurn the giver even as we receive the gift. As we express that mercy, it's huge. In the Matthew passage, there is a fellow who owned fabulous amounts of money. He faced judgment and he asked for mercy. But he wasn't just given time to pay it off. It says he forgave the debt. He did away with it. And then someone who owed a little tiny bit of money, he was ready to send to judgment. And when he spurned the government, the rich man who had been forgiven, then the judgment of God came behind and came over him. In the James passage, it says, that speak at night to those who are being judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. And then it says mercy triumphs over justice or judgment. It's kind of called the word mercy triumphs over judgment. It's kind of like mercy rejoices over judgment. I showed you before, once I was driving down the road in Ohio somewhere, and a state trooper, he throws on his alarm, he pulls me over to the side of the road, and I'm thinking, what can I say to him? I was going well over the speed limit. I knew it. The only thing that happened was I didn't see him. And Satan said, you know, a little tiny lie would be good. And I at least that time I didn't. But I really didn't want to take it. So he said, what? Did you realize we're going real fast? I said, yes. Why are we doing it? I was in a hurry. And he was like looking for excuses, and I didn't have any. And he asked all the wrong questions in the right way. And he said, well, what do you have to say for yourself? And I said, mercy would really be nice. And so, you know, I really can't. I said, I know you can't, but mercy would really be nice. He said, you know, if I tell the sergeant, he said, I'm going to have trouble with this shift. And I said, I understand that, but he said, give me a ticket. And you know what I did? I rejoiced that mercy triumphed over judgment. But the scripture says that mercy rejoices over judgment. J.B. Phillips is my favorite translation of scripture paraphrase a long time ago. He said that mercy smiles over judgment. The priestly blessing is the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. It is to look to the face of God and know that you are forgiven. It is to look in the faces of others and to show them the love of God that is way beyond anything else. And it makes a statement to our world. I can remember, I went to Princeton Seminary, and nearby were the Sisters of Mercy. And it was terrible getting parking there. And the Sisters of Mercy, just by their parking lot, it said, no trespassers. And those who trespass will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I was right next to the sign that said Sisters of Mercy. That could have been a really Protestant or Presbyterian church, by the way, but when we don't extend mercy, we get in the way of people seeing God. Now, just to be clear, mercy is not removing justice and law. What the law demands, it's what we can do and how loving we can be in response to those who are. Now, Victor Hugo again, he said to love a person or to show a person mercy is to see the face of God. My favorite musical is Les Miserables. fascinated by this. This bishop, when the police arrest him, he says, no, I gave it to him. And then one of the police is there, he gave them even more stuff to add to that which John, now John, had stolen. If you read the book, or you see the musical, the bishop's act of mercy embraced a man without hope. The bishop's act of mercy embraced a man not worth embracing. I mean, how bad can it be that you steal from the church? The bishop's act of mercy embraced someone that wasn't even seeking mercy. But in the bishop's being merciful, it filled Jean Valjean. And he once again sought the God who had grasped him through the bishop. Blessed are the merciful, the full of mercy, because we have a world filled with people, many of them here, who desperately need that kind of mercy and love. The good news is that God extends mercy to all of you, no matter what you're hiding from the rest of us. It's not hidden from God, and he offers you mercy if you would grasp his hand. And when you grasp his hand, it's not that he requires you to grasp the hands of others. It's that when you're full of mercy, you can't help yourself. Mercy is for those who can't help themselves. They receive God's help, and they can't help themselves from sharing.